The system is down. The system is down.
Oh, I love when the window resizes to like roughly 95% of what it just was.
Yep.
Oh, hey, you wanted this window to be halfway off the screen, right? Right?
Yeah. Yeah, we got that you. Too. Yeah, it's like off and it's just a mess.
Or the, have you ever had to like look for a different window that was behind another window and you accidentally shook it back and forth and so it clears everything off of your desktop?
Oh, yes.
I hate that. Every time that happens, I'm furious.
And then I would try and shake it back, and it would take, like, 3 times the amount of shaking, or I'd have to, like, just stop and then try and do it again, or it's
oh, whoa, whoa. It's so difficult. Hold on. You can shake it back?
Yeah, you can shake it back.
I just thought I ruined it. All right. I get to open everything up one at a time now.
I just do the same thing again, but, like, crazier, and it comes back.
Son of a bitch.
I just like click. Yeah, I like click or I just go between the two. It's like 60% of the time it works every time.
I learned something today.
Padres, and welcome to episode 66 of Dads Talking Dads. This is a podcast about your favorite baseball team, the San Diego Padres. My name is Johnny, and I am joined by my fellow compadres, Joel and Tony. Joel, it's been a long time. How are you doing?
It has been a long time. I'm doing quite well. We're through the holiday season, and I had a blast, and it was a really, you know, fun time for everyone, but I'm also a little bit glad to be through it, if that makes sense. There's a lot going on. There's always a lot going on in the holiday season. And now mix COVID into that too. And just, you know, you got yourself a party. But everybody's happy and healthy. And that's all you can really ask for in these dark, dark times. So I'm doing just great.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, no, it's holiday time. It's like, I love being together, but you also kind of got to like be on. And there's always people around.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just want to be in a room by myself.
Right. And then, if you do that when there's people at the house, it's like, oh, I got to feel guilty now. Like, I wanted 5 minutes to go watch TV.
That's where you just, oh, I got to poop again. Sorry. Oh, I got to use the bathroom. Got to, oh man, 15-minute bathroom break.
And that IBS, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know, honey. I think there must have been dairy in that. It's just really, it's not settling well. I rarely pull that one. Tony, how are you doing? How's everything been?
Doing well. It has been a while, as Joel said. Also healthy. Everybody's good there. Also pretty happy that holidays are behind us. We kind of at the last minute scaled stuff back. It was supposed to be something Christmas Eve, something Christmas Day, something the day after Christmas, and then ended up being pulled back a bit, but that was kind of nice, honestly.
Yeah.
So it felt like you had your one day where you had to be really on, and then we had time for just us where we didn't have to be as you know, you could just kind of relax. So it was pretty good, honestly. And luckily we have been very lucky health-wise. No real scares. We had a couple tests and, you know, they've come back negative. So just hanging in there.
That's good.
Can't complain, though. Yeah.
No, it's true. Like Joel said, I feel, you know, that's all you can ask for.
Yeah.
Got your life, got your health. I mean, you know, yeah. And unfortunately, we don't even have baseball to look forward to currently because of the lockout, but you know, we won't get into that.
Are we allowed to do this podcast right now?
We have true. we have to censor it. It's labor mle blah blah.
Blow blando blah blease blunier is this the best Blorns ball player.
Wow, that was impressive.
This is now a cricket. This is now a cricket podcast.
Oh, man.
John Boy's been doing a lot of cricket coverage. I don't know if that was what inspired that quip there, Tony, but...
Who has?
John Boy Media. He's been doing a lot of cricket breakdowns.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that.
He's like
That's
a low-key,
funny.
Huge cricket fan. He understands the rules and everything. He does a couple explanations on how everything works. It's pretty cool.
Wow. Damn, I didn't even know.
It's just anything with a bat and a ball, I guess.
Yeah. He's going to be covering like 11-year-olds playing stickball in Brooklyn. We're down here at 47th Street and East 73rd Avenue, and Michael here. He's been on fire today, 3 for 4, 3 doubles, just RBI machine out of him. He goes to PS 112, just fantastic. 5'1", tallest kid in his class. Really bright future for this young slugger.
Preller's in the stands. Write that down.
Oh my gosh. All right, so he would be there. So yeah, today we're gonna recap basically just the last few months of what's been going on since we've been gone, what we missed. But first, I have a question for you guys. Because after this podcast, we're gonna be caught up. And really, I mean, there's a lockout. What do we have to talk about, really? I was gonna say look forward to. I guess life, but other than that, without baseball, what is it? But I have a question for you guys. Should this become a review, an episode by episode review of the One Season Wonder television show Pitch?
Oh, God. Wow. It is a Padres TV show.
Oh, wow.
So I see the logic.
While we wait, yeah.
Is it easily the owners to is it easily viewable?
I think it was an ABC show, so I'm going to
I'm looking it up. I'm on it.
Yeah.
Let's see.
How to
You might be the first person ever to be Googling how to watch Pitch.
Oh, it's on Hulu. It says it's on
sweet.
Hulu.
Oh, Christ.
I got Hulu.
Perfect. There are only 10 episodes.
Oh my God, and it was that season we had the blue and yellow jerseys. Those looked so nice.
Wait a second.
Yep, 2016.
Wait a second. There are two seasons? There are two seasons.
Wow.
Oh, I just see one season available. 10 episodes.
Hulu is telling me there is a season 2 in 2019 with 15 episodes. That's not real. No way.
What? That can't be right.
Maybe it was planned.
That cannot be right.
Scrapped.
They're like, no, that's actually a DreamWorks knockoff of the movie Pitch Perfect, and it's one of our weirdly.
Yeah, Wikipedia is telling me one season canceled after one season. Wow, Hulu with the inside scoop saying that there's a unreleased second season.
Paramount buried it, but it's there and it's good.
I mean,
it's one of those things, that's for sure.
Joel looks very distraught over this idea.
Wow.
I don't want to say he looks in pain, but he looks.
I have a lot of questions about this show.
He looks like he's viewing pain on the horizon.
Oh, man.
Like he knows it's coming.
It could be all right. It could be.
Oh, man.
I say we at least do one episode. At least one episode.
Are we gonna live view it? Are we gonna be watching the episode together?
Live commentary? Wow! If we can get together for,
I do have a whole extra screen
over here.
22-minute
episode. Yeah. I feel like, and that's family viewing. You know,
it is.
Don't worry if the kids walk in.
It is family
when you're
viewing.
Watching Pitch.
Family fun for all.
Let's see. Nope, not Pitch Perfect 1, 2, or 3. I just want the classic 10-episode one-hit wonder.
None of that garbage. We want the classic.
Wonder. Yeah.
We want cinema.
Wow. This, on IMDb, 7.4 out of 10.
That's not that bad.
On 5.8,000 reviews.
I love Joel's reaction.
This show is surprisingly well-rated on IMDb. What?
I think 7 might be as low as it goes on online rating systems these days.
Huh. Right, that's fair.
Like you don't get a lot of threes and fours.
Yeah.
Huh. Unless it's for, you know, something you're shopping for, then you get sometimes more realistic ratings.
Let's
but yeah, video games and TV.
Wow. Did you guys know that in this show, Mark Paul Gosselaar's beard was a suggestion made for the producers of the show, who thought it would make him look different from other roles he had played? Huh. Interesting.
John, you're giving away good content for later episodes. You got to save those tidbits. I want fun facts. There's going to be a limerick review of every episode.
Wow. Yeah.
I think we got to. This is premium lockout content.
We could even just record us, start a Skype call. We could do our 3-2-1 record, because it seems that we all line up pretty well with that, which is nice.
I mean, that's two buttons and we have to push, right? Or I guess we do another 3-2-1 after the record if we don't want to simultaneously be clicking play and record, because we'll have to intro the episode.
We could just 3-2-1 click, or no, yeah, I guess record first.
Yeah, get ourselves ready. We want to lead the listeners in a little bit, be like, hey guys, we're watching episode one of Pitch today.
That's
run
right
for your lives.
Don't touch the dial. Do not touch that dial.
Oh my goodness. I don't know. We'll see. It sounds like a fun idea.
I'm in, man.
Someone driving while listening to it just veers into oncoming traffic.
Pitch.
I'm hoping that we come around on this show and we're like, this should have gone for at least 3 seasons.
We have to see. The only way to find out is to watch it.
That's true. All right. So we haven't recorded, I think, since like January. Or no, not January. Jeez, I was looking at the calendar. It is January. Since September.
I think so.
It was our last recording. Early September. And so since then, let me get the music going here. All right. Can you guys hear that at all?
I can. It sounds a little ominous.
It does sound perfect. Ominous, yeah.
All right. October 6th, 2021. The Padres fired Jace Tingler after 2 seasons. This is from MLB Trade Rumors. At the end of June, the Padres were 49-33 for the season and winners of 11 of their last 12 games. The question at the time seemed to be which of the three NL West powers would capture the division title and which two would be destined for a showdown in the wild card game. Instead, the Padres cratered to a 30-50 mark over their final 80 games, including a nosedive that saw the club win only 7 of their final 28 contests. The result was a 79-83 record and the Padres' 10th losing record in 11 seasons. And Tony, I'll turn it down a little. Would you like to share one of your limericks here?
I do. I think it's time for the first one.
Yes.
All right, here we go. The future was once promising, for many a dinger was dinged, but Popo at bats, a back half collapse, meant Tingler had to be sent packing.
I lost it at Popo every time I hear it.
The worst nickname. Just the worst. So bad.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Hearing you read through that, Johnny, it actually is worse than I even remember.
Yeah.
Like the crater is wider and also deeper than I remember it being. Just awful.
Yeah. 30-50. That's just terrible. Like that's usually what the bad years we would like start the season 30-50.
Yes.
and then we played 500 the rest of the way.
We were the worst team in baseball over that period of time, and it wasn't even close by my recollection. Yeah. I'm not looking at any data right now, but I don't think I need to. Like, we were very aggressively bad.
Yeah. No, it's like it was awful. 79-83 is like, that makes us look better than what we actually played.
Yeah, it does not feel like we deserve that at all. I would have easily taken 70 wins if I had to guess. I would have guessed 70 and whatever the losses end up being. I will say, looking at our notes, I think this is probably the best time for the second limerick, criticizing another person on this team, or perhaps not on this team.
We can
Are you ready for the second limerick? Once heralded as a rock star, we thought he could take this team far. Instead of grand slams, he just had no plan. So the fans gave him feathers and tar.
If this season goes poorly, I think that is a very prescient limerick.
Yeah, I think so. It was pretty crazy seeing everybody turn on Preller after a horrible deadline and the crater that happened almost immediately after. Just comically bad.
Yeah. It's the thing that surprised me really, and we'll kind of get to a little bit later too, was he's had a history of like trading away second base prospects, and then randomly this year he's like, let's get 4 second basemen after trading away probably 5 in the past like 2 seasons. I was like, huh? Like, I thought you would just throw anyone there. Like, it's like Mike Moustakas style, basically. I don't even know.
Yeah, it just, that it was bad.
Puzzling.
It was very bad. Weird. None of them really worked out in the short term or the long term, because I think they're all gone now. I think everybody he traded for is gone. Frazier, the one outfielder from the Cubs, I can't even remember his name. And the reliever from the Nationals, who's gone as well.
Yep.
Good haul. Really worked
not
out.
Ideal. Yeah. Meanwhile, Ty France, and separate from any of those trades, but you know, Ty France rocking it. Didn't he win a Gold Glove at first base this year? I believe, or Silver Slugger or something like that.
Yeah, I think.
I think it was Gold Glove. I'm assuming Vlad probably got the Silver Slugger.
Yeah.
But
Joel has to feel very vindicated on that one, I will say. Joel is probably the most upset about him leaving.
I was
leaving.
Way wrong on Ty France.
Yeah, me too. I thought he would be pretty average, and can you imagine if we had him at first base instead of someone who will be limericked later, possibly at the end of the show?
Oh, man. All right, so, and while Joel looks that up, so that was, that was October 6th, fire Jace Tingler. Later on that month, the 27th, they officially signed Ruben Niebla as their pitching coach from AJ Casserole. Casserole, that was what I wrote. Casserole.
AJ Casserole. Nope.
Sorry,
nope.
AJ.
He's now sure forever he's AJ Casserole.
Sorry, Casserole. he is from California, from Calexico, actually lives in El Centro, was previously with the Cleveland Guardians organization, still weird to say, helped develop a lot of their different pitchers, including current Padre Mike Clevinger. So he does have some history and some knowledge already of at least one of our pitchers. And so he is our new pitching coach, taking over essentially for Larry Rothschild from last year. So definitely, I think, a step forward in thinking and just approach to pitching.
Yeah, there's no way this isn't a step up. He's got to be half Larry's age, if not a third. Probably uses a computer instead of a typewriter or a quill and parchment like Larry did. I just, like, without even knowing anything about him, anything about his process or anything, it's just an immediate step up. And I know pitching coach is a role that is often used as a scapegoat, especially for this organization, but I just don't see how this is could be viewed as anything other than a win. He seems pretty universally praised from coaches and players, and that's usually a pretty good sign. So gets a yay from me.
Yeah, same here. How about you, Joel?
Yeah, absolutely, same. I definitely like the typewriter joke, though, about Rothschild. I'm imagining him sending a telegram to the bullpen. Denelson, stop. Throw more sliders, stop. So, yeah, I mean, with all of the arm issues we saw, like, it just can't be a total coincidence, right? I mean, Yeah, there were, I mean, a lot of those injuries, I mean, I don't think you can put that all on the coach, but like the pattern is there that, you know, there's something that was being done that was not working for everything to just implode the way it did. And then, you know, we were kind of forced to ride the bullpen heavily, and then they predictably collapsed as well. And it just was, it was rough. It snowballed from there, right? But I think we need new blood. We need somebody who's kind of looking at some of those analytics and is in that sort of mind frame, has that kind of perspective, and is able to relate that to the players. I think I remember reading a quote that really stuck with me. I can't remember who it was. It was a pitcher that we lost. It might have been Davies. No, I don't think it was him. But
I think it's, I think it might be Logan Allen.
You might be right. Yeah, and it was like, yeah, so they were asking me about the shape of my pitches, and I was like, I've never heard anybody ask me that.
And it's just like, no, I think that's Quantrill.
Yeah, you're right. It was Quantrill.
Yeah, Quantrill.
Nobody had ever asked me about the shape of my pitches. I'm like, wow, in 2021, like, how is that the state of our pitching?
Like, we've talked about that, I feel like.
Very scary.
Just shocking. Yeah, it's, that stuck with me almost as much as LaDainian Tomlinson when he left the Chargers and went to the Jets and was like, oh, look, we have actual, like, training, and, like, we have personal massage staff that comes in every game.
It's wild.
Yeah, it's just... Oh, my. Why can't we keep up with the, you know, modern trends?
It's weird. It doesn't.
But apparently, that's what we're doing now. So I've got hope with Niebla. I think that's
steps forward,
move in the right direction.
Yeah. No. Definitely. Definitely. Another step forward. On a few days after we signed Ruben Niebla, we officially signed manager Bob Melvin to a 3-year deal. Poached him from the Athletics, who had actually, what they had, the option, or the team had the option and they had exercised it, but then Padres were able to talk him away, and so they signed him on the 1st of November. He's definitely been a successful coach in Oakland for the past few seasons, and now is in San Diego to right the ship. He is an experienced guy. I don't know if any of us were you know, thinking of Bob Melvin as far as being on the table, because he had, they had exercised that option. So that one definitely came out of the blue. I was happy about that that move, just because I like what he's done in Oakland. Are either of you guys, do either of you guys have any concerns or any kind of skepticism with the Melvin hire?
Joel, you can go first on this one.
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, he's kind of bringing in his crew, which, like, I could see a good or bad argument for doing that, like just bringing in all of his guys. I know we sometimes get a little bit frustrated with AJ Preller for bringing in, like, every ex-Ranger he can find. So, like, to me, I could see that one kind of going either way. But I don't know. I mean, he'd had, what was it? I don't know if you already said this, Johnny, because I was trying to still look up if Ty France won any awards in 2021. But he had 3 90-win seasons with the A's in the past 5 years that I could see. So, I mean, I'm pretty excited. I don't see a whole lot of downside with Melvin. I remember him coaching the D-backs back in the day as well. Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard anything terrible about him, and the numbers seem to be indicating that he's a solid manager and knows what he's doing. So, I mean, I don't dig into managers deeply enough, or am skilled enough to know if a manager is good or bad until after the fact. I'll put it that way.
No, that's fair. I just checked. Yuli Gurriel won the Gold Glove, so I was off. Let me see what Ty France...
I don't see a record of him winning any awards in 2021. I checked Baseball Reference and couldn't find any.
Maybe, you know what? It might have just been that the Mariners just made, like, a damn Ty France had a good season post.
He was, like, a Gold Glove nominee, for sure.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe he was a nominee.
But, Rob Manfred again. Favoring his Astros, because he's the one who picks the winners of the Gold Glove Awards, obviously.
Just a piece of metal, Joel. Calm down.
It is, in fact, just a piece of metal. It's true.
All right. Oh, Tony, you added this in, too. So on the 22nd of November, the Padres hired Michael Brrr as their hitting coach. And I honestly forgot everything that I read about him. So, Tony, why Why should we be excited about Michael Brugger?
Because he's coming from the Giants, and the Giants had a great offense, and they had young players and old players, and somehow they all raked. Either they're all juicing, which would be fine by me, so long as you don't get caught, or there's something in the coaching. So that's the top level overview for him. He's only 27 years old, which is probably my only concern. Not so much from a I want a dinosaur standpoint, but from a I view the dinosaurs on our team perhaps being stubborn to listen to advice. I don't know. Maybe there's like one person in particular who has already shown perhaps a stubbornness to
who's to
adjust
say
his. Who's I can't say. We're in the lockout, so we actually can't name any of the players. But perhaps there's one 305 resident, maybe. I don't know. Lives in Coronado.
Just got married horrible beard recently.
Yeah, maybe. I didn't hear about that. That's weird. That really went under the radar, that piece. But anyway, back to Birder, which I think is actually how it's said.
Is that really how it's pronounced?
I hope so. It reminds me of,
dude needs
of
more vowels
30
name.
Rock. Yeah, it reminds me of 30 Rock with the Rurger.
Definitely reminiscent of that. I think the best part about Birder is he's not a Padre and he's not a Ranger. Feels like we actually went to a... and with Niebla as well, we're actually going to teams that have a record of success with these various departments and poaching talent from those departments. That's just gonna, I mean, there's no way to not view that as a positive sign. So I feel pretty positive about both of those. And actually with Melvin as well, I don't know if I said anything about him. I kind of felt like when that was announced, it was the Undertaker meme of him sitting up after being almost counted out, except it's Preller. He's like, oh, y'all thought I was done? Let me just snipe this top managing talent that nobody expects and buy myself a little more time. So yeah. I'm excited about all of those.
Yeah. No, those three hires in particular, I think, really helped get some of that heat off of Preller's back, because that is a solid core going into next season. A few days later, Padres traded second baseman Adam Frazier, who they got from the Pirates the previous season, to the Mariners for left-handed pitcher Ray Kerr and outfielder Corey Rozier. And honestly, again, completely forgot everything that I read about them when the trade happened. If I remember correctly, one of them is like in their mid-20s. I want to say it's Kerr.
27.
And then
yeah.
Rozier's really
same
young.
Age as
yeah.
Berger, by the way.
Berger. Perfect. Yeah, so yeah, leaguer. Kerr could kind of... I guess yeah. to kind of touch on both of these items at once. 3 days later, left-handed pitcher Matt Strom, left-handed pitcher Jose Castillo, and right-handed pitcher Trey Wingenter elected free agency. All three were hopefully, you know, going to be bullpen help the last couple years. Due to injuries, they weren't able to, and so Kerr potentially could, you know, fill one of those left-handed roles that we've been sorely in need of for the last season or two. So, and then finally, the Marlins traded catcher Jorge Alfaro to the San Diego Padres. That was from the transaction page. Didn't even say who they traded back. And I'm still... yeah. I guess Preller's always loved Alfaro. I guess that's a thing. He is very toolsy. Yeah, former Ranger. And, you know, if... I don't know. If the tweets from random burner accounts are anything to read into, which they probably aren't, it does seem like we may have to attach Luis Camposano onto an Eric Hosmer trade if we want teams to eat that money. So, I don't know. So, some movement there. Any moves in there that you guys are particularly excited about or crushed about?
We also signed a couple bullpen arms prior to the lockout. I don't remember their names, but I do remember those being viewed generally positively. I think Suarez and...
yes.
Can't remember the other one. And then we were supposed to sign someone from the KBO, I think.
Yes.
And that was not official before the lockout, which is the most Padres thing
ever, of course. Watch the lockout be lifted and he'll sign somewhere else for less money. But that Alfaro trade sucks.
I am
willing to attach just about anybody to Hosmer to get him off this team. Both from a biased standpoint and a non-biased standpoint, he is just such negative value at this point. I wish we would just DFA him, but I think there's too much pride in the front office to actually do that. So we're going to have to do something dumb to fix a previous dumb. But I don't think trading for Jorge Alfaro was necessary to get rid of him. And it just sucks. Like, who's excited about this? Nobody. Jorge Alfaro is excited about this.
Yes.
That's the only person.
Dude, this does not look good. Well, here's the thing. He looks like what we hoped Austin Hedges was going to be as a hitter. Where we were like, if Austin Hedges could just hit a little better, if we actually that's got fair. That's Alfaro, right? So 2018, 262, same for 2019 for his average. Kind of a shitty 2020, but we'll chalk that up to a short year. 226, and then 244 here in 2021. Not looking great. WR was at weighted runs created plus, so 100 being the average ball player, higher being better. He did 73 in 2021, 70 in 2020, 95. So, yeah, it's not looking good. He's on the wrong side of his curve there. He's 28, so it's not like he's just going to get a whole lot better here. He's going to continue to deteriorate, especially since he's a catcher. I remember my gut reaction to this trade, too, was just like, why are we doing this?
Yeah, I just have zero faith in this team handling catchers correctly. The Nola thing, Campusano probably going to be booted as soon as he gets good. I just really have zero faith in that position with how we handle it. So sure, that they could add anybody here and I would probably be disappointed because it's just never the right guy.
Yeah, I feel like it's hard to get catcher right. Like, I was excited about Austin Nola, but he's just been injured constantly. And so it's just like, okay, well, and then we have to, you know, rely on Victor Caratini and Campusano when he can't get on the same page as.
Hey, you guys remember Francisco Mejia?
Boy, oh boy, I was still, I still wish they would have stuck with him. It's just
yeah. I mean, he was he had a 108 weighted runs created plus, 260, 322, 416 slash. 1.4 WAR, positive offensive WAR, which Alfaro has not had in 5 years.
Yeah. He's about to turn around. Joel. Don't give up.
He's only had a positive offensive wins above replacement number in one of his 6 seasons in the big leagues. This guy is like a shittier Austin Hedges. I'm just going to go out and say it.
Just about to break out.
And
I don't know if you've covered this, but they also say he can play left field, Joel. So, Jesus, does that change your opinion? Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That's right. Yeah.
Jorge fucking Alfaro in left field. Just shoot me right now. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, I know a lot of guys think, yeah, Nick Castellanos. Okay, that's a nice name. Have you tried Jorge Alfaro? Like, come on, guys. Jeez.
It would basically be the equivalent of when Pham was playing very poorly in left field, but without the speed. Yeah. So, I don't really
like
want to know what
that
looks like.
Fan of left field, except it's a catcher. That's a goddamn catcher
like Fam,
in left field.
It would be like Fam playing in left field, but like right after the snap.
Because catchers like are so after. Well known for having fucking fresh legs to go out and play the goddamn outfield.
Light jog at best.
Holy crap. I don't even know if I can remember the last time a catcher has been moved out into the outfield. I'm sure it happens. I mean, Buster Posey would play first, but like, come on.
I think we tried it with Mejia, maybe like one game
did
or something.
Did we really
that
do
was
that?
His whole thing, right? He was.
He didn't want to play third base and he didn't want to play left field, and we kept trying to make him go over there.
Yeah.
Buster Posey may have actually played in the outfield. Wow.
Has Williams Astudillo played in the outfield?
It's just
zero
it's
chance.
It's just a bad idea. Like, I don't I think that's so. Ever
he,
a good idea.
He ate the outfield. 0% chance.
Let's look. I feel like he's got multiple positional
that, that guy can do it all. That might be the
catcher, third base, and first base. That's right.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, no that way. Makes sense.
No way he's in the
there's
outfield.
No running at the corner. See. The corner infield. Oh, my God. I kind of want to, though. I want to go fire up the show and put him in the outfield.
Oh, I forgot that he pitched four innings. Oh, my God. Yes. He has played left field as recently as 2019.
Oh, yeah.
Williams
he was all over the place. Yeah.
Wow.
Two, three, wow. five. Designated hitter.
A couple games here and there, but still, that's hilarious. Oh, wait, no. Wow. Yeah, actually, like, 2019, he played 29 innings in right field.
That's not nothing. That's... That's not like one or two blowout games where it's like, okay, who really cares what happens?
Last year, he played 204 innings at third base. He was actually majority of the time at third base for the Twins. Wow, that's surprising.
Man,
he is
the Twins,
a king.
The Twins were just so immediately irrelevant that we didn't even... I don't think I saw like a single Twins highlight past April. Like as soon as Buxton got hurt, I think that team just went on mute for me. So I didn't even know that he put 200 innings, you said? That's crazy.
They did him dirty with that picture.
They really did. Now we're looking at Astudio pics.
So
and
funny.
He doesn't photograph particularly well.
No.
Is what I'll say.
Well, it's that he also just looks randomly just very unhappy.
He does.
Like he's not like extremely
it looks like a
upset.
Mugshot.
It's yeah. They were like, we're gonna, you know, I don't even know. That picture though is absolutely
okay. So it's not unprecedented to put a catcher in the outfield, but I will maintain that it's a bad
still,
fucking idea.
Yeah, probably not the best thing to do. We've got to have a better decision than that.
So yeah, to sum up, I don't like Jorge Alfaro very much at all. I hope
That's
for
fair.
The best here,
That's
but
fair.
not super excited.
Yeah. I do. There is a small part of me that wonders if Adam Frazier with another season could have been okay, but again, we don't need him. We have Jake Cronenworth and Ha-Seong Kim, so.
Yeah, I
think it just annoys me that we even traded for him at the first
I was just going to say, like, what was that? Just a token, like, hey, guys, we did something at the deadline. Leave me alone.
Yeah. It does feel that way for sure.
Yeah. Lesson learned, hopefully.
Let's see. Yeah. That's just frustrating. Oh, yeah, that was the deal that we sent away Tucapita Marcano, who actually could have been a first base or second baseman in the future.
Yep.
Very frustrating.
Yep. You Boy, traded away probably like 4 or 5 years of him for, let's see, we got 3 months of Adam Frazier.
Yeah.
Only one and a half of which baseball was played. Good trade.
He must have been so excited coming from the Pirates, I believe, and being like, oh, hell yeah, we're going to a contender.
Right.
And then it's just cratered immediately.
There is a non-zero chance that when he came to the Padres, the Pirates actually had a better record over that period of time than us.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Which is deeply depressing.
I think it's possible. That's sad.
You might be thinking he's cursed at this point.
Yeah. Watch him break out once he's in Seattle.
Of course.
Mariners will fix him.
Inevitable.
Yep.
Inevitable. Yeah. Any other, I'm trying to think, did I miss, was there anything else? I know, yeah, there was a few, basically, yeah, like you guys were saying, that haven't officially gone through. Those were just, basically, just everything that I grabbed from the transactions page, but.
Yeah, I think the, first base coach and third base coach positions have probably been filled. It doesn't really matter, honestly. I mean, Wayne Kirby was fun. He was very fun to have, but like, I really just can't be bothered to really care about those positions unless they're truly horrible. And I don't think they were. So whoever he brings in is probably fine to me.
I get to feel old in that I'm starting to remember the third base coach when they were in the playing days. I remember being a fan of Matt Williams because I was a he was Diamondbacks third baseman when I was living in Arizona. I had a t-shirt with Matt Williams on it.
I know. Yeah, it's always weird seeing that happen. Or like how Chris Young is the Rangers GM.
So weird. That one still is very weird to me.
I'm like, what? Huh? Odd. All right. Well, I think that's about it for the main part of the show. Because that was basically getting caught up. Everything we missed. We've just about covered all that. Because of the lockout, there's not really any, you know, on the horizon, nothing new coming. So I guess we should share our fatherly advice.
I actually have one more question, really quick.
Oh, yes.
I just kind of want to hear your guys' opinion. When do you foresee the lockout lifting? Like, do you think we're going to lose spring training games? Do you think we're going to lose regular season games? Just total off the top guess.
So the reasonable person in me would say, no, they're not going to allow regular season games to get missed. Potentially maybe a late start to spring training. If I, you know, if I was the commissioner of baseball, that would be what I was working towards. But we have a notorious asshole as the commissioner of baseball right now. And so I could see this getting really ugly and prolonged and maybe even affecting, you know, a couple of weeks of the regular season. I don't think it's going to be the nightmare that it was for 2020 when they were trying to figure out how to play during the, you know, the first outbreak of the pandemic for COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would be naive to not be prepared for regular season games to be lost as a result of this dispute. But if you had to pin me down, I think, optimistically, I think we get a late start to spring training. Say maybe we lose a week of spring training before somebody caves. And then the more, I guess, pessimistic or realistic, however you want to put it, side of me says we might lose 1 to 2 weeks of the regular season. So we'd be starting mid-April.
Yeah, I actually almost completely agree with your pessimistic side, Joel, because Manfred, this is his baseball season. Labor negotiations are like his World Series. He doesn't care about the actual sport. He cares about this lawyer nitpicky bullshit.
Yep.
And I just think he will not let it go. I really, we have no evidence that suggests he would do the right thing here. So I think we will probably see a season that starts in mid or even late April. And that will suck. Honestly, though, one bright side, Padres probably benefit from a shortened season. I think we saw it in 2020.
One more time to rest up, get those arms recovered, give some more time for sunshine to get ready.
Nola's glass bones can finally heal up, only to break again in June, but, you know.
Oof. Yeah.
Every morning, I break my legs. Every evening, I break my arms. But, yeah, I mean, you mean to tell me that the commissioner of baseball who let go Ken Rosenthal from the MLB Network because he got his feelings hurt is going to make this ugly, prolonged, disgusting negotiation? I find that hard to believe.
Yeah. No, he actively... I'm just going to say it. He actively dislikes baseball. I think he actively dislikes baseball and fun, family and friendship and freedom. The important math.
Wow. Dude, I would kiss Bud Selig on the mouth if he would come back to be commissioner of baseball at this point. Like,
I never think there'd be a line of people.
I never thought I would think fondly of Bud Selig's tenure as Major League Baseball commissioner, but dude, pales in comparison to the bullshit we've seen with Manfred.
Yeah, not even close. And I don't follow other sports leagues nearly as closely, so I can't really say, but I just feel like he's the worst. Like, I just don't see the same level of misery from people about the actual sport. Like, say what you will about Goodell and the NFL, that it's more popular than ever, it feels like. People still really love that sport, and the product is, like, viewing from TV, the product you get is pretty good. And I just don't feel like baseball really progresses in the same way as that, or... the NBA or NHL or anything like that. So It sucks. He sucks. Bottom line.
Yeah. No, it's true. No, I agree. I think, like, some spring training will be lost because I don't even think the players mind.
Yeah, we're, like, almost there.
If some spring training is lost. Yeah. Yeah, basically,
it's like less
I'm, like,
than
a month
away.
Yeah, and yeah. About a month from now, players and pitchers and catchers report, yep. And then I feel like usually around Valentine's Day is, like, right when that starts. Mm-hmm. And then... yeah, and then it goes from there. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we lose some or all of spring training. I feel like as soon as, like, real money starts being lost, mm-hmm. that's when they'll, you know, kick it into gear and all that shit. But I would be very surprised. It would be a nice surprise. I'd love it. But, yeah, I agree with you guys. I think Manfred is more, you know, he's more interested in proving he's right, even though he's in the wrong. But, you know, he's interested in proving he's right more than... you know, having the actual product on the field and doing his job. So if there's no Major League Baseball, what is he even the commissioner of? Nothing.
Yeah, I, man, it sucks. It, like, this is normally the time of the year when I start to get pretty excited. All the ramp up posts start. It's like pitchers and catchers report and blah, blah, blah. And you start to really think, like, okay, I'm ready to be hurt again. I'm ready to get excited again. Yeah. And then it just ramps up from there, and you just can't feel that right now. It just feels empty.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's moves usually going on around now, too. You know, mm-hmm. there's some signings, some trades, some stuff. And, yeah, I don't know. You get to hear about new pitches. Oh, this pitcher's throwing this new pitch. Mm-hmm. I need those tweets.
We need the content.
Maybe they'll just tweet them directly now. Put it right in my gullet. Show me a new cutter or a Vulcan changeup. I don't know.
We've got that knuckleballer coming up to our system, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I want to hear about him. Yeah, got to hear about him. What's he doing? What's he eating for breakfast?
Throwing knuckleballs.
What's going on with him?
But we want to hear it anyway.
Yeah.
We need confirmation.
Show me your
that track man
info. Yeah. How are your knuckles? And how are you?
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness. Speaking of how we are, we are going to make all of you feel a bit better. We're going to, you know, with some fatherly advice. And it looks like Tony has already... got some fatherly advice. Oh my gosh, that is so fatherly. Please share.
I know, I'm ready. I feel like this one is a good one.
Dang.
So, I feel that one of the most underappreciated tool in the kitchen is the cutting board. Use it all the time. You may have multiples. You may have your plastics for your fish and your meats, and then your wood for everything else. If you have a wooden cutting board, I highly recommend first investing in a pretty decent one. I mean, you know, I've had an IKEA cutting board as well, but it's nice to get a decent one. And if you have a decent one, take the time to put the care into it. You can buy little kits that come with an oil, a wax, a scrubbing brush, all of that. Not only is it pretty therapeutic to do, it kind of cleanses you to get your cutting board back up into good shape, but also it will extend the life of it dramatically. Your cutting board will not warp as quickly. It will not, the wood will not pull away as quickly, and it will go from looking ashy and really light and dry and kind of shitty, because then you see all the cut marks and the scars in there. A little bit of oil and some wax and a little bit of buffing will make it look brand new. You don't have to do it too often. You do it every 8-12 weeks or something like that, or whenever it just starts to look kind of crappy. It's not something you really need to stress over. Just once it looks kind of crappy, take the time to put the care into it. It only takes a couple hours. I've been doing it this weekend, and it is fulfilling for both me and the cutting board. So I recommend investing a little bit of money, but most importantly, just investing your time and take care of your cutting board. And also, if you put it in the dishwasher, you are a sinner and you should be punished. That is not where that goes.
I must admit, and I know we're not supposed to, but we've got wooden utensils, like the big, you know, spoons and stuff, and we toss them in the dishwasher all the time. And
Johnny,
they're definitely in not as good of condition as they should be. But if we get some new ones, I'm gonna take care of them because I'm the dish person.
I will say, utensils not as bad as a cutting board. If that were to go through the dishwasher, I'd be like, well, you know, it is what it is.
Cutting board sauce all over it. You know?
Yeah, cutting board brutal for it. It will just tear it apart so quickly. The wood will start to split away, and then not only that, but you can get wood in your food. Do you want to eat splinters, Johnny? Yeah, I don't think you want to eat splinters.
Don't want to do that.
It's good fiber.
That's true. Get that pulp.
Joel's revealing something about himself a little bit.
Oh my god.
Would you like to go next?
I can go next. Yeah. So I feel like the past few times we've recorded, I've recommended subreddits, and I'm gonna do it again. guys, we have an epidemic, and I'm not talking about COVID. Social media, and more importantly TikTok, has just been a scourge on our planet. Everybody is creating these. I'll admit, well produced, like high production value, good camera work, good sound, videos of just fucking awful ideas. And it's everywhere. Just really bad things that nobody should ever do. So I'm going to suggest a subreddit for you guys to enjoy the misfortunes of some of these just ridiculous TikTok accounts. I'm looking at one right now. The subreddit is called Stupid Food. reddit.com/r/stupidfood. I'm watching a guy make jungle juice in a bathtub using what looks to be, I don't know, that's at least 10 gallons of different like hard liquors that are being mixed together.
Oh no.
Vodka, there's probably some gin in there. He's pouring, right now as I'm watching, 6 bottles of vodka at a time into the bathtub that's filled with 20 pounds of ice, chopped up oranges, gummy bears, gummy worms, I think some of those like frozen berries that you get at Costco. There's some margarita mix going in there now. Dude, it's bad. It's in a...
I mean, at least he went to Costco.
It's in a goddamn bathtub. You know,
good deal. Did he put in a plastic liner?
No, it's just a bathtub.
No way. No way. 0% chance.
Yeah,
gross.
Yeah, no way. It's jungle juice, baby.
He's still pouring vodka in right now.
I mean, hopefully at least he like bleached that shit beforehand.
Zero percent chance.
Yeah, 0%.
It looks clean, but clean for a bathtub, right? So I mean, it's still a goddamn bathtub at the end of the day. There's tequila now going in. Yeah, it's rough, man. So that's just a taste. That's just a taste of what there is in this subreddit. There's one of the top all time posts. Somebody asked for a 4 cheese pizza, and it's a picture of like. Just imagine like the worst cafeteria pizza you've ever had, but it's on top of that, it's got like Kraft singles, and then I think gorgonzola on top of that. That looks just like straight up mold. It's sad, but also hilarious and entertaining at the same time.
Oh,
you're
just
welcome.
So vile.
Yeah.
just love yourself a little more. Eat good food. You deserve it. The TikTok food trend is definitely troubling.
Everybody thinks that their idea is a great idea, and it's like, no, like just because you're pouring more shit into a bathtub does not mean it's a great idea. Like, yes, it's colorful, so it probably looks cool on camera, but it's just like, ugh. And like, yeah, you'll get for sure wasted drinking that jungle juice, but man, what a headache you're gonna
have.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you got drunk off bathtub jungle juice. You win, I guess. Like, I don't...
It's basically cool. Just glamorized. What's the JL wine? What's it called?
Prudhoe?
Oh, man. I don't
yes, exactly. Know. That's, it is a couple degrees away.
Jesus. You're right.
You are not as far away as
so
you may
think.
So
if it's ever too strong, nice thing is you got the tap right here. You just turn on the water, you mix it up, it dilutes it real good.
Makes it smooth.
Yeah. Don't worry if you make it too strong.
So yes, in the same vein as I think I recommended DIY. So that's DIWHY.
Oh yeah.
Where they it's the same idea, but where they're building like just awful furniture that you would never ever need and things like that. Just DIY projects around your house that are stupid. Lots of concrete for no reason. It's the best. It'll make you feel like even if you're super unskilled and not handy around the house at all. Or don't know how to cook. These subreddits will make you feel better about yourself. So if you're trying to like live up to your New Year's resolution. You want to cook at home more. It's a really good source of motivation. Like, yeah, maybe I screwed up that casserole, the AJ casserole, but at least I'm not making that four cheese pizza that I saw on Reddit.
What's that subreddit again? Is it bad food?
Stupid food.
Stupid food. Stupid.
It's
food.
The best. It has Salt Bae on there, which is hilarious because he's really fallen from grace too. I remember seeing him on Instagram at first and thinking, "Damn, that looks pretty good." And he's just like, he's drunk with power now, and it's a sight to see.
Oh boy, he went Admiral on us. That is, yeah. I can't do TikTok. Someone was recommending like, oh, you can learn like, you know, video. There's like good like videos like learning about ADHD and like mental health and shit. And it's just something about the way that people talk on TikTok. It's just like there's like a way that people talk, and yeah. There's a lot of pointing to text on screen and like looking insightful, and it looks like the most fucking pretentious shit I've ever awful. Seen in my entire life, and I'm just like, no, like I immediately hate you.
Do you really have anything to say though if you're not able to smugly dance and point to stuff to say it?
Yeah, I'm like, I just fucking tell me, or I don't know, but this weird—
he's pointing right now for the listeners at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, it's dumb. It's just, it looks, I don't know. It's very frustrating to me. As my daughter's been saying, it's frustrating.
Indeed, deserving of the extra syllable.
All right. Yeah, yeah. So cut your shit out, TikTok.
Agreed.
And instead, follow my fatherly advice after you're done looking at stupid food, to go to the library, which we may have recommended at some point before, but I've had a new appreciation recently for the library because I've been like looking at different little hobbies to try and get into, and I've been, I was about to say renting, but you don't pay anything. I've been checking out books on like some different topics that I want to learn about. And I love that I have to return it. Like, if I don't like it, or I'm not interested, or I just didn't really like the book that I got, that's fine. I just send it back. It's not just going to sit there. Like, I don't have this, you know, I'll try and, like, usually I'll be like, I'm going to buy this book on whatever. And then it's like, okay, well, what's the best book? Because we are millennials, and I guess that's how we think. Okay, now I got to go through the ratings. Okay, now what? Now I got to look through the reviews. Are the ratings real? Are these just like fake ratings or fake reviews? Was everyone paid for this? Are there secretly a bunch of one stars where they tell me what's actually wrong and then I'm going to hate this? So it's that whole fucking, you know, mental thing going on. And instead, it's like, no, I'm just going to check this out. And if I don't like it, I have to send it back anyway. So next week, I'm going to send it back. And then I'm going to try something else out. And maybe that's good. If it doesn't, and it sucks, whatever. I send it back, I get a different one. So the library rocks. I don't ever want to buy books again. Because, like, that's just so much nicer. If I really, really, really like something, maybe, you know, I'll, like, you know, go out and buy it. But there's just an absurd amount of books, just a ridiculous amount of knowledge. So get yourself down to the library.
Johnny, I can tell you feel passionately about this just from how many times you hit the microphone talking about it.
Oh, yeah. This thing has moved quite a bit, quite a bit.
But yeah, going to the library is great. It's try before you buy, but you never have to buy. It's awesome.
Like, yeah.
Although
yeah.
Some might call you a pirate for doing that. Because you're not paying for it. It's copyrighted material.
You're pirating. You wouldn't steal a book. You wouldn't steal a car.
You wouldn't download a car.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But yes, I love the library. I wish we had a better library here in Ramona. Look, you're in a much bigger city than I am, Johnny, so I'm sure the library is a much better place for you. And honestly, Ramona has a new library now, and it's great. But yeah, it's just a little bit tougher to find what you want at the library here.
That's fair. No, that's true. Because there's been a couple that we went to that I was like, ooh, this is teeny tiny. Yeah, thankfully the big one, the Burton Bar, is pretty close by. That one's pretty big, pretty sizable. But
I also feel like, Johnny, I don't know if the Arizona system has it, but San Diego, they have an app and everything, so it's very easy to look at what you want, put it on your list. You don't have to go until it's there, and then you just pick it up, get out of there. Super easy. If you go to drop them off, they have a little drop-off window, so again, you don't even have to go in, which, you know, right now some people may be trying to limit their contact with other people anyway, so totally. Super easy. Big cosign.
Yeah.
I wish libraries would make their digital collections easier to get to.
Yeah.
Like, ebooks are pretty great, and they're hard to get to from the library.
Yeah. That's the one thing where I feel like they're... well, not the one thing, because, you know, they're kind of behind on a few things, but that's the one where I do wish they could pump it up a little bit pretty quickly, because you're right, it is great. The ultimate convenience.
Right.
Yep. No, very true. Very true. Dang, that was some very fatherly advice.
It's a good trio.
You know? I liked that. That was pretty solid. Good return. Good return.
I also feel the fourth piece is to do your homework, listeners. Mm. Watch Pitch on Hulu.
Yeah.
Episode by episode. Get ready. We have no idea when we're scheduling this. We have no idea how it's going to happen, but unfortunately it will happen.
It will.
Johnny has opened Pandora's box.
Yep.
Oh man,
very excited.
We're now honor bound to watch Pitch.
Maybe we can do a couple episodes. Notebook? We can do a couple episodes per recording, so it's not as tough.
Yeah, that's true.
We could do like episodes in, one through three or one through four or whatever.
I hope the ad breaks sync up. I don't have free Hulu.
I don't either.
Oh,
that's part of the review. We're gonna review the ads as well.
So this is gonna. We'll just wait. You just tell me when an ad's coming up. I'll pause for 90 seconds.
We can pause to to stop and digest what we just watched, because there's gonna be so much to talk about.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that'll be good. That'll be really funny. If you've got some library recommendations, some subreddit recommendations, or if you know where I can find a good cutting board, you can reach out to the show via Twitter at Dads Talking Dads. You can also email us if there's anything you'd like us to talk about. We can be reached. The email is dadstalkingdads@gmail.com. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends, family, rate and review the show. But that is it for this weekend. That is about it for this weekend, because it is about 5 o'clock on a Sunday. And that is it for this episode of Dads Talking Dads. I am Johnny.
I'm Joel.
And I'm a better first baseman than Eric Hosmer.
Whoa. We're gonna save that limerick for later too.
Shots fired. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back next week with more Padres talk. And as always, go Padres. And
Goodbye. This
is the time for you to share your it third limerick.
Johnny is correct.
Because
it just adds it right on.
It's for the true fans that stayed through the end of the show.
I like track zero. I like it.
He truly is hot, stinky trash. And not just because of no mask. Too many ground balls sent the clubhouse to brawls. Eric Hosmer, baseball's finest Neanderthal. Because he refuses to change his fucking swing.
It's fair.
Or anything.
Oh my goodness. I love that. That's perfect. A swing from the dark ages.
A true butcher's chop into the ground.
he was just a big Braves fan growing up, so he just loves Tomahawk.
Yeah, Braves fan in Miami.